I salute thy voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of Rescue.
Oh, amen. How many of you consider yourself blessed in this past few days? This past few days. And our online viewers, God bless you for joining us again today. We want to finish up with our argument of the deity of Christ. From Wednesday in this convention, we started making an argument in defense of who Jesus is. And who he claimed he was. To defend it, whether it is true or not. To investigate it and to lay defense for our Lord Jesus. So we titled it The Prophetic Destiny of Jesus. That Jesus came on this earth with a prophetic destiny. Things were spoken and said about him. Many things were written by Moses and the prophets. Concerning the coming Messiah. And when Jesus Christ came, it was said about him, and he also said himself, that he is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the world. And we decided to investigate per the descriptions that scripture gave us, or the messianic prophecies, concerning who qualifies to be the Christ. And we realize that for you to be the Christ, you must first and foremost fulfill four different roles or offices for you to become the Christ. And if you miss any of those offices, you don't operate in any of those offices, then you don't qualify to be the Christ that the Jews were waiting for, the Savior of the Jews and of the entire world. And then we saw, by further study and investigation through scriptures, that these four offices were, one, the office of the, talk to me, the office of the prophet. That if you say you are the Christ Jesus, as you claim and as other people claim you are, then you must be a prophet. And we studied through scriptures and we saw that Jesus is indeed a prophet. When the leaders of the Jews arrested him, they hit him from the back in the mob, they struck him from the back, and they asked him, that tell us the one, prophesy to us, show us the one who struck you, who hit you from the far end, and we will believe that you are really the Christ. Because they know that the Christ should be able to prophesy. The Christ should be able to see secret things. To reveal future things and secret things. So when the Samaritan woman met him, and he exposed the word to her, and further went into her life and told her secrets about her marital life. How she has been friends who are still not even her husbands. Or even the sixth one not being her husband. And the five that have divorced. Then all that. And she realized that, no, this is a prophet. Because the things that Jesus started talking to her about were secrets of her life. So we established from several scriptures that Jesus is the prophet spoke about. Amen. That a prophet God was going to raise who is like he, Moses. And that is what, and Jesus fulfilled. Then number two is what office? The office of the office of the priest. And as the priest, he's supposed to atone for sins. As the priest, he's supposed to intercede and to pray for us and to atone, pay the price of our sin. like the Old Testament priest who go into the temple with goat and with sheep and all the heifers and all the others to go and make intercession for the sins of the Jews or the sins of others. And so we establish that for Jesus to be the Christ, he must also be in the office of the priest, because it is stated that he shall be a priest upon his throne. And so Jesus must be a priest. And we saw how the Bible explains his priesthood as being that of Melchizedek, and how it was connected to Aaron, and how his priesthood was better than that of Aaron, because Aaron as a priest enters and then has to even make intercession or atonement for himself before the people. But this man did not. And this man, when he makes atonement, the sacrifice that he did was once and for all, unlike that of Aaron and the other Old Testament priest. So Bible emphatically stated that Jesus is our high priest, that Jesus is the one atoning for our sins, that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins. So as for him, he didn't even enter with normal sheep and goat. He entered with his own blood and sacrificed his own life. So he is the best priest one could ever have. And that is why you and I are saved. That is why you and I are delivered. That is why you and I are rescued. That is why you and I have been redeemed. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. If Jesus had only prophesied and hadn't offered the sacrifice for our sins, he wouldn't have qualified as the Christ. Because the Christ must be able to offer sacrifice for sin. And he did it in a very, very, very perfect way, that he sacrificed his sinless blood, not the blood of goat or sheep. Hallelujah. And so he has obtained for us a more sure salvation, an eternal redemption. Not 1 year redemption, not 2 years, but a redemption that is forever and ever. Salvation that is supposed to be forever and then ever. We have been cleansed. Say, I'm washed. Or say, I am washed. Say, my sins are forgiven because of Good Friday. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for the Lord. Now, how many offices are we left to establish whether Jesus operated in? How many of his two? Do you want to know them? Yes. So the third office that the Christ must operate in to become the Christ of God or the anointed of God is the office of the king. So we are looking at Jesus the king, the office of the king. If Jesus says that he's the Messiah, then the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah is also supposed to be a king. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. So Jesus operated in the office of a king, not just a prophet. And as a king, he rules and he exercises authority over all things. When we say you are a king, it means that you rule over a domain. You exercise dominion over a domain, over a territory. You exercise authority over a space, over some group of people. That is what makes you a king. It is an exercise. And that is why in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, when Jesus resurrected and appeared to his disciples on his final meeting with them, what did he tell them? He said, all authority is given to me. That means that kingship is now authority. It's given on this earth, all over the universe, under the earth, everywhere in heaven, all authority. That is why Paul said in Philippians, said he has been given a name, Philippians chapter 2, he has been given a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of name, all knees, those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. When we say you are Lord, it means you are a king. You are a ruler. Say, my Jesus is a ruler. Say, my Jesus is a man of authority. Say, my Jesus is a king. So now, because the Jews are very much aware that the Christ must not just be a prophet and not just be a priest. But if you say you are the Christ, it means you are trying to tell us that you are our king. They reported Jesus to Pilate. When they accused Jesus before Pilate, what did they tell Pilate? Go there. Luke 23, verse 12. They told Pilate that this man, go there. Are you all there? Quickly, let us read. We are on Good Friday. We are talking about Jesus and what he has done. One go from the back. And the same day, Pilate, oh no, that's not what I'm looking for. Luke chapter 23, verse 2. Sorry, go to verse 2, not 12. Good. One go. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, that means corrupting the people in the town. And read it. And to give tribute to Caesar. Now, Caesar was the emperor, the king of the whole territory, including Israel, because he had conquered Israel. So a king over more states becomes an emperor. He becomes an empire. And that was the Roman emperor who had conquered them and was ruling over them. Like the way the Queen of England was ruling over Africa, like Ghana, Gokus, and other places. Now, they were having Caesar as their emperor, as their king. So, the Pharisees, in an attempt to kill Jesus, reported him that if he says he's the Christ, then he's trying to say that he's the king. Reported him, finish the scripture. And forbidding, let's take it from there, one go. And forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, comma, a king. When you change the verse, you see, comma, a king. That he himself says that he is Christ. Then they were quick to add to it for Pilate to understand that in our custom, in our tradition, you are not a Jew, you are a Roman, you don't know us. But from our ground, the one we are expecting as a Christ is a king. So if this guy says that he is our Christ, then Pilate, we want you to know he's trusted that he is the king. And you, Pilate, you know that we have only one king, and our king is Caesar, who has sent you, Pilate, to come and govern us as our governor, to represent him as our ambassador. So Pilate, if you don't kill this guy, you actually can't rebel, because he says he's the Christ. And to us, the Christ is our. Do you see it over there? Messiah, a king. So the Messiah is not just a prophet, Messiah, a priest. That is why the day that he turned the loaves bread and they ate and were filled, people say that, and they decided they are king. Because he was too powerful. If you can do this, then you power. Then you are indeed the. So if you are then rulers, be a king. So if Jesus is the Christ, then should be a king. Hallelujah. Clap your hands together. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Do you remember that when Gabriel appeared and when Mary climbed God to bed, he told Mary was supposed to be on a throne that belongs to who? David. When you are ruling on a throne, who are you? Are you getting it? Look at it. He said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Go on. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his forefather David. Amen. So Jesus, what they are expecting, is supposed to be someone who will come from David's blood. That's why Jesus came from David's line or David's kind of family. Hallelujah. That is why he's called the Son of David, from the family of David, Judah. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Are you following? Ask the one by you. Are you following? So now the angel has announced that he's supposed to be a king. The Jews have reported to Pilate that this guy says is the Christ. That means that he is our king. And so do something about him, because we don't accept him. So that means the Christ must surely be a king. Now, you remember John the Revelator? He had a vision, and he saw in a vision, Revelation 19, verse 16, how that Jesus was sitting in his glory. Like today, if you should see Jesus in heaven, not when he was on the earth, but when he's in heaven, you see him in his glory. This is how he looks like. And John the Revelator was explaining how he looked like from top to down. And it got to this verse. Let's all read the verse. One go. And on his robe and on his high thigh, he has a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So John saw Jesus even sitting in heaven on his throne. And it says that, and the robe, the vesture that he was wearing, had an engraving in it. Something engraved or embroidery within it that was saying that this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on his thigh was engraved or was tattooed, written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you following me? It was written. Now, have you seen that you meet some old folks who cannot speak English? They've written their names on their hands. You know, in those days, in the Roman Empire, people who had tattoos on their hands were actually people who they put those marks on your body and those names on your body to show who is your owner. Like you're a slave, to show who you are, who you belong to. Are you getting it? It's not life like it has become today. But the Bible says that our King, our Christ, who we believe is Jesus, he's a king because even in heaven, on the throne that he sat, and on the robe that he wore, is written King of Kings. And even his thigh is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means that our Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a priest, but he's also a king. Not just on this earth, but in. Clap your two hands. The other religious leaders who are also competing for the position of Christ, who are also claiming that they can save people, are they the same time prophet? Are they at the same time priest? And are they at the same time kings? Go and investigate. They are not. This man is the only one who seems to be fulfilling all the requirements. Can't you see that you are following the right person? Ask the one by you. Can't you see that you are following the right person? Because Ishmael's descendants, who are bombing people all over the place, their leader is not a king. They call him prophet, but they can't call him a king. But we call our leader the King of Kings. You can't be the Christ if you are not a king. You can't be the Savior. You are not the one they were prophesying about. A king. Amen. Oh, amen. We are talking about Jesus. We are talking about Jesus. According to Zechariah 9 verse 9, this is the prophecy about the king, about the Messiah becoming a king. So rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. He said, behold, for thy king is coming to you. And what is coming to you in Jerusalem? He says he's just and having salvation. He's lowly, that means humble, and is riding on a donkey. And on the courts of a donkey. Are you beginning to remember a certain picture? Now, when this was written, Jesus was not born, though. Was prophesied by his kind. He says that when the Messiah is going to visit you, Jerusalem, and when he's coming to Jerusalem, he will be riding. What will make you know that he came is that he will be riding on a donkey. And not just a donkey, but he went on to further break it down. He said he will be riding on the baby of a donkey. Say humility. Not just, but be of it. Because donkey are used to represent humility in scriptures. So the baby of a donkey is a super donkey. Are you following me? Come on, are you following from the back? We are establishing the kingship alone. Yeah. In John chapter 12 verse 12, what happened? John chapter 12 verse 12. Who came to fulfill this? Was it Muhammad? Was it Shinto? Was it Buddha? Is it Haile Selassie? Who rode on horses and going for war and all that? But there was one person who visited Jerusalem in John chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 12. Everybody, let's read. One, go. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was to where? Come on, our next scripture. When Jesus was coming to where? Next verse. Go on. Go on. Took branches of palm trees. Blessed. They took what? Branches. When they heard that Jesus was coming, the Bible says that they went in for branches and they started outing. Hosanna. Blessed is the king of Israel. Not the prophet. Blessed is the king. Because they have been expecting him. They know the scriptures from Old Testament. That when our king is coming to our town, he will not come in the convoy of limousine and Benz. And the convoy of but to be seated on a baby donkey. And so the Bible said that they all went in for branches and they started making noise, putting their branches on the floor, putting their own clothes on the ground, and shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who in Hosanna is the king of Israel. The people shouted and they even admitted that Jesus is the king. Verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, and as it is written, as it is what? Written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, you think on a donkey. So you see that Jesus, everything Jesus was doing, he was fulfilling scripture. He was fulfilling everything he was doing. That is why he is the one, he is the chosen one, he is the anointed, he is the Christ. Nobody in history fulfilled the messianic prophecies, only Jesus. Nobody in history. Nobody. Nobody. They carried palm branches, which symbolize what? Victory, triumph. You see? In history, they used to weave this palm, and then they will put it on your neck when you run or you join, then you are first, second, or whatever. So come from branches where they are waved in the air or they are used in celebration. It's a sign of conquest. King goes to battle. A Roman king goes to battle and goes to war and wins and conquers. When he's coming back, you'll see that with the slaves behind him and his army, many people will make something like we call Black Star Line. On the left and on the right, and they will be marching slowly into the city. Into the city, they call the place the Colosseum. There will be many people that have gathered, clapping for the king that he has conquered, and what they use in celebrating the quest and the victory of the triumphant king, and his entry is the palm branches. So when Jesus was coming, they knew that we too, this is our king who has conquered the enemy and conquered hell and conquered principalities and powers and has all power. So they didn't meet him with empty hands. They met him with the palm branches. And they met, that's why we call it the triumphant entry of Christ. Clap hands for the Lord. Ask someone, do you now understand what the palm means? So it's not like they are making They are just dirty in the church. They are just dirty in the road. Of late now, churches don't really, charismatics don't really. But the main churches, they still do it till today. You see them marching by the roadside with their palm. It is how Jesus was announced as the king when he entered into Jerusalem. Are you following?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, Caiaphas was the high priest. When he saw what was happening, he became afraid. In chapter 11, he started talking to the people that are telling, you guys have sat down. Look at how many people are following him. The way they are following him, and they are waving those palm fronds and palm branches and shouting Hosanna and saying that our Christ, our King, is coming. The Romans will come after us. So Christ was concerned that if we don't kill this Jesus, Rome will rise up against us. God, they will think that we are crowning a new king. That means that these Jews, they were seeing what the ordinary people were not seeing. That Jesus was behaving as a king. He was not there. You think that Jesus was just roaming about, just preaching keke? He was behaving as a king. Because they had prophecies about how the king would behave. And that was exactly what Jesus was doing. So Caiaphas said in chapter 11, he said, let us kill this man. Because it is better for one person to die for the whole nation than for the whole nation to die. Now, that is why we are here. See, the Bible says that when he said that, he didn't know that as the high priest, he was supposed to sign the death warrant. Because in the Old Testament, it is the high priest that must carry the lamp and say that this is the one who should die, so that they sacrifice him. So, if Jesus is really the lamp of God, he needed the high priest of that time to also carry him for death. That is why they had to carry him to Pilate. That's why. It's a spiritual thing. The Romans cannot come and arrest Jesus and kill him. That is not how the Messiah must sacrifice for us. He must be handed over by a priest. That's why I said, hey, as for the Jew pastors, they are wicked. Oh, they kill Jesus. If they didn't kill Jesus, his sacrifice will not be accepted. Because Jesus is a sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. And for the Lamb of God to be accepted like in the days of Moses, a priest must put the knife on his neck. A priest. So, Jesus cannot be killed by just soldiers. A priest must hand over that killing. That is why Caiaphas had to sign his death warrant and plotted his death. That is why the Jews had to kill Jesus. Not because they were bad, but it is a prophecy. Clap your hands. It's a prophecy. Are you following? Eventually, when Jesus appeared before Caiaphas and heard all the accusation, he had to defend himself. Will he say he's a king, or he will say he's not a king? Will he deny who he is? The Bible tells us in John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered when Pilate asked him, are you truly a king? Now, do you people now remember why they put a thorn of crown on his head? Hello, how many of you remember that they put a thorn of crown, crown that is a thorn, thorns on his head? Pierced his head and blood flowed from his head and his scalp. Why did they need that? They don't do that to anyone. All the thieves, they didn't put stone. But one, they said he's a king. He's a king. The only one that they wrote on his cross, on the stick that was used for his cross, they placed a written note that says that this is the king of the Jews. If you are a Christ, you must be a king. And Jesus was there. So nobody can save us. Nobody can be the savior of the world. You are nothing. And Jesus came and he called us. So Pilate asked him, are you really the king? And then Jesus defended himself in verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were to be of this world, then my servants would have fought that I should not be delivered. But now my kingdom, it's not from here. So Jesus didn't say that I am not a king. He only said that my kingdom is not on this earth. I am a king. I am from another kingdom. I'm from Zion. I am a king. I'm here on a mission. I am here to save some Zionites that are trapped on earth. I'm here for some who are heaven born. People who must get back to heaven. Who are trapped on this earth. How many of you follow him to heaven? Or how many of you follow him to heaven? He's the Messiah. He's the King. He's the one who saved us. John 18:37. Then Pilate just said unto him, are you really saying that you are king? Then Jesus said, you are the one saying that I'm a king. You yourself, you are saying it. Thou sayest. You also say it. You are saying that I'm a king. Then he said, to this end was I born. For this cause I came into this world. That I should bear witness of the truth. And everyone that is in the truth heareth my voice. He told Pilate, this is the reason why I was born. This is my destiny. Tell someone, the destiny is to be a king. He said, this is the reason why I was born. This is why I came into this world. What you are talking about, that's what's born. That's why I came. And you are saying it, that I'm a king. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So Jesus confirmed that he is a king. The Jews saw that he is a king. And they tried to make him a king. He had to run. Another time, they made him a king by force because he was sitting on the donkey. And they were celebrating him as a king that has conquered. Hallelujah. They declared that he's a king. So on and on and on and on, his kingship was placed. Do you now understand that Jesus is a king? And that also further makes him the Christ. Now the last office. The last office was the deliverer. The redeemer. If Jesus is the Christ, then he must not be a prophet. He must not just be a priest. He must not just be a king. But he must also be a deliverer. Say, Jesus must be a deliverer. I was so here or before. So, now, all the things I'm talking about, just take your time and find out if you can find one human being on earth and in history. All the religious groups you know about, go and read about their leaders and find out if you can get me just one of them whose leader was a prophet and was a king and was a priest and at the same time was a redeemer. You won't find. I said, who can come near in the competition for the position of the Christ? No one. Before him there is none. Behind him there is none. By his side there is none. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Clap your hands for our Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As the Redeemer, deliverer, he's first to deliver us, to rescue us, to redeem us. Romans 11:26. That and so Israel shall be saved, as there shall come from Zion away ungodly Jacob. In verse 7, all that is out of Zion comes down toward bring deliverance. He will bring salvation. Yes, I. He will not. He will not own men. Therefore, but he will also save from all the religious of need. Jesus is the only one who is taking people to heaven. All the others are looking for how they themselves will go. Hallelujah. Am I teaching? In Hebrews 12:22, I told you that Zion is where? Heaven. It's a figurative name for heaven. And Jesus himself confirmed to us that he's from where? Heaven. In John 6:38. John the Baptist also told us that Jesus is from where? Heaven. In John 3:28. Say, you yourself bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before the Christ. This is John speaking. And that he now told them that he that comes from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. So John the Baptist tells us that me, I'm just John. I'm from earth. But the one you are talking about, he's from heaven. And he's above all. He's above all. So Jesus, coming from Zion, is established as the deliverer. And because he's supposed to deliver, something very, very remarkable happened. Everybody follow me. Have you realized? Those at the back, are you listening to the story I'm sharing? Have you realized that when Jesus had finished prophesying, had finished making atonement, died on the cross and resurrected, had finished sitting on donkey, behaving like a king, and all that, the Bible says that the disciples were looking for one thing. The Jews were looking for one thing that they had not yet seen in Jesus. So in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, that they went to Jesus to ask him a question. Go to Acts chapter 1 verse 6. When they say, Lord, would thou at this time restrain the kingdom to Israel? Now what were they asking? They said, we have lost our kingdom to Caesar. Rome has conquered us. And now we know that you have come as the king. But now as the king, you are supposed to deliver us because you are supposed to be our redeemer. But as of now, we have been waiting that you will rise up and lead us to war and deliver us from the Roman emperor so that we will be able to become free men. But rather, you are talking to us of, I'm going, and I'll be with you. Where I am, you will be there. Then they went to him and said, when are you going to deliver us from Rome and give us our own kingdom? Then Jesus told them, you are not mindful of spiritual things. For some of these things, they are not meant for you to know. They are kept in God's own time. Are you hearing everybody? The time that God will do certain things are kept in God. But my show is that they were expecting Jesus to what? Be a deliverer and deliver them from Caesar. Now, when you study the account on the road of Emmaus in Luke chapter, 23, when that some of the people were walking in the town, they were discussing about how Jesus has been healed. And then they were saying that we thought that he was the one, let me read it to you, who was supposed to have what delivered us. Let me read it. Luke 24, verse 21. It said, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed. But all this have been in the past. He has been buried for like 3 days now. He's been dead for like 3 days now. That means that they were all disappointed. That we thought that this one, dear, he is our hero. He's coming to deliver. Now they have killed him. As of this time, Jesus hasn't resurrected, or they didn't know that Jesus had resurrected. So they were all thinking that he was dead and gone. They were like, we thought that he was coming to rescue us from this kingdom, from Caesar, because the Christ must be a deliverer. The Christ must be a what? The Christ must be a what? So Jesus, if you are the Christ, you must be a deliverer. But you see, they didn't know that Jesus has said his kingdom is earth. He did not come to save us from the Gamanche, or to save us from an Asantehene, or to save us from any physical king. The Bible says that he has come to save us from the kingdom of darkness and to translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. Amen. So his delivering power or deliverance was not about the rulership of Caesar. He was not interested in taking Caesar's throne. They thought that, if Jesus said that God is raising another prophet like him, then Moses brought us from Egyptian rule. You two have to bring us from the Roman rule. But what they didn't know was that Jesus did not come to bring them out of Roman rule per se. Jesus came to save their soul. Tell somebody by you, Jesus' work is more spiritual. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Now, when Jesus was riding on the donkey, do you realize that the people started chanting something. They were shouting something. What were they shouting? Oh, have you forgotten? What were they shouting? They were shouting, Hosanna. 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 Our Christ, our King is coming. Hosanna. Now, what is the meaning of Hosanna? When a Jew says Hosanna, it is coming from a root word. Okay, a root word that is pronounced like something like Hosanna, not Hosanna. Hosanna. And this root Hebrew word called Hosanna means save us. Save us. Oh, save. Oh, save. Oh, save. That means deliver us. So when Jesus was sitting on the donkey, the people were shouting, deliver us. Save us from Rome. Save us from Caesar. Save us. You are our King. You are our Christ. Deliver us. Like Moses delivered, the first prophet delivered us from Egypt. Save us and deliver us from this Roman. So all their mind was that Jesus was coming to deliver them from Caesar. But by the time Jesus still died, Caesar was still in power. Because that was not Jesus' assignment. His destiny was to deliver us from more powerful kingdoms that are beyond our eyes. Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. I pray that whatever you are dealing with, which eyes cannot with, which money cannot solve, whatever you are dealing with, which human being cannot help, may the great deliverer, may he come through for you. I said, may the great deliverer, may he come through for you. I said, may the great deliverer, may he come through for you. Clap your two hands and say, save Lord. Shout Hosanna. And shout save me Lord. Shout Hosanna. And shout save me Lord. Clap your two hands for the Lord.
Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth.
He's the Jehovah's watch. He's the one that leads for the war. He's the conqueror. Hosanna. Save us. Deliver us. Rescue us. Tonight and on this Good Friday, may the Lord save you from whatever is stronger than you. May the Lord deliver you from what is overpowering you. May the Lord deliver you from every form of sickness. May the Lord deliver you from witchcraft powers. May the Lord deliver you from demonic powers. May the Lord deliver you from that which is contending you. The Lord of hosts. Lift up your two hands and sing it.
Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth.
You are Hosanna. Save us. Save us. Among our enemies, save us. Shout Hosanna. Shout Hosanna. Shout Hosanna. Save me.
The King of Glory, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth.
Listen. So he did not come to save us from the president of Ghana, nor to save us from the American Empire, or to save us from the just the economy of this world. But Jesus Christ came. He said that, but I have come that I may give them life in abundance. I may give them eternal life. For the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give them in abundance eternal life. That was why he came. Our deliverer, he came to deliver from the power of death. I declare that anybody here under the curse of death, under the vengeance of death, I command by the power of Good Friday that death is broken in the name of Jesus. That death is revoked in the name of Jesus. That death is revoked in the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Yahweh. Sit down. The Bible tells us that Christ has redeemed us from certain things, the curse of the law, and certain things. But that he has translated us, Colossians 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his son. Jesus, he delivered us, but not from a human kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? All I said that he delivered us, but not from Caesar. Not from physical things. Huh? He had from those things. Not just that. But the Bible says that he delivered us from the power of darkness. But you see, what I wanted you to understand is that the Jews were expecting that he should be a deliverer, if only he is the Christ. And I'm trying to make you understand that he's still the deliverer, even though he left them still under the Roman rule. But came with a higher level of us, not just physical things. And he came to deliver them. Bible said to deliver us from the power of darkness. So any power of darkness that is still at work in your life, Christ came to deliver you from them. It's powers of darkness, demonic powers, oppression, witches and wizards and manipulations, satanic manipulations, demonic assignments that are harassing your life, came to deliver you from them. So I declare right now that any satan manipulation going on in your life, I command it expires from today. I said it expires from today. I said it expires from today. I declare over your life, every witchcraft manipulation will command destroyed right now. We command it to scatter right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever that is happening in the evil kingdoms against your life, for this reason he came to destroy the works of the enemy. Destroy the works of the evil one. To destroy them. What were the works? Definitely sick. He came to destroy them. To translate us in the kingdom of his life. He came to destroy sin. Sin was the first thing that he came to destroy. And you see, for you to be able to find yourself in the kingdom of God, Jesus had to do something. If he's the deliverer, then he has to do something to you in order to give you in kingdom. When translating something, it doesn't mean you are moving from one place just to another. What does it mean? When we say you are translating, if I take him and I move him here, and I move this one here, or I move from here to this place, doesn't mean that he has been translated. Maybe he has been moved, changed, or shifted from one place to another. And when you use the word translate, as the Bible used there, that Jesus has been, he has delivered us, and just didn't deliver us, but he has gone on to translate us into his kingdom under his power and authority, then what it means is that you have to now look for the word translation. It means that something during something, enter for it to change in a form. You have to render the thing. What it means is that you have to do something to the thing in order to change the form of the thing. So if I am moving him from here to there, and I change something about him, change certain things about him, and that helps him to get here, what I've done to him, I've not just moved him, I've translated him. When Jesus came, he met you in sin. He met you in curses. He met you carrying the yoke of this world, doomed for hell. He didn't just hold you and just moved you, but he did something about your nature. He died and used his blood to wash you, to cleanse you, to decorate you. And he gave you power called grace. And now he moved you into his own kingdom so that you might have your children. That's why he's a deliverer. That's why he's a deliverer. That's translation. If you did a little bit of mathematics, you'll come across translation. Y as this and on the X. See that something is done to the X or Y in order for the variables to do what? To change. True or not true? Tell somebody, Jesus has done something to you. Day did something. Good Friday did something in your heart. Good Friday, my color may not change, but spiritually, something has changed on the inside. The day you become born again, your height may not change. Your body weight may not change, but something has been done to your heart. That is why you are able to say no to certain things, because something has changed in your heart. Because you see, a lot of you by your own power, you try to say no to some things. You try to start something new. You try to change something. And you try to tell yourself, I'll not do this again. And I'll start this. And I'll not do that again. And you keep going back to the thing. Because you are trying to move without translation. If you move without translation, it will not work. Before you move, you must be translated. There must be some rotation. There must be some either reflection to this side or to that side or to that side. Something must be done to you. And that is the work of Christ. That spiritually, Bible says that he that becomes born again, or he that comes to Christ, he becomes a new creation. Something is done to him that all things are passed away and all things now become new. That is the only place where you can be and you can now say, I will not do this and I will not do that and I will not go here and I will not go there. But I pray for 100 people here right now that whatever must change in your life, as Jesus has died on the cross, I declare that may something be done to your spirit. May something be done to your character. May something be done to your behavior. May something be done to your heart. May something be done to your spirit. Shout, translate me, Lord. Let something be done. Let something be done. Let something be done. Let something be done. Amen. Now when he came, he delivered us from sin. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. As the deliverer, he delivered us from sin. Bible says that by himself he bore our sins in his own body on the tree or on the cross. That we having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. So Christ, dying on the cross, took away our sins. Took away our sins. We are no more carrying our sins. Tell somebody seated by you, are no longer carrying your sins. Oh, come on. Tap another person. Tell him, you are no more carrying your sins. All your sins. I mean all. All the sins. Those you can remember, those you cannot remember. The day Jesus died, he sacrificed himself. Bible says that by himself he bore. He carried all your sins. So that you will go about free. As if you've done nothing wrong. As if you've never fornicated before. As if you've never lied. As if you've never committed abortion before. Why? Because somebody decided to carry all your sins. Tell somebody, my sins have been carried away. Hallelujah. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Somebody carried away. So stop judging yourself. Okay? Stop judging yourself. And allow the grace of God to wash you. Because the Lord has taken away your sins. He has done something to your spiritual DNA. He has changed something in you. And he has made you righteous. The second thing that he delivered you from is sickness. Sickness. 1 Peter 2:24. Who by his own self bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were again healed. By whose stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. So the second thing that Jesus' death on the cross, on a Good Friday like this did for you and I, is to carry our sickness. To carry our sickness. Somebody said, "By you, are you aware that sickness in this world? Are you aware? Sick, Jesus. God says that by His stripes we were healed. We were healed. We were healed before sickness came. By it has already passed. It's like you give birth to a child. You go for immunization. What is immunization? You have the ability to before. That means this child never healed. Polio must go. When you do this, all of you have some mark. Yourself. If you have, if you don't have it, where you are coming from is very." I say, Yamba Ukrum. Oh, I don't know how they tear. Check.
Check the one by you. Do you have immune mark? Have they immune? This kid here. Yeah, will be.
Now, a baby had not yet contacted polio or measles. Yet, we are immuning the child. We are healing him of measles before it even attacks. The Bible says that the day Jesus was dying, they just couldn't shoot him and kill him. They have to give him stripes, marks, all over on his body. Why? Because every mark was his certain sickness. Every mark. From his head to his back, every mark that produced blood was healing a certain disease. Was healing a certain disease. And if you have watched the Jesus movie that was the Passion of the Christ, that is being used to demonstrate what the Bible has been speaking about, you will see the number of lines. And check against the number of sicknesses you have suffered so far. So any sickness that attacks you from today, the blood of Jesus, the stripes have already paid for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Any sickness you have suffered before, the blood of Jesus has already healed you. You have already been immune. And any sickness that now wants to come, let me announce to you, you have already been immune against that thing. So I declare from today, let every sickness lose authority over your body. Let your amen be the loudest. Let every sickness that is harassing your body lose throne now. Let every disease in your blood be flat out now. Let every disease in your eyes be healed now. Let every disease in your body be eradicated now. Clap your two hands together. Say, I am the healed of the Lord. Shout at the one who has been healed by God. Before the sickness came, you were healed. So it can't stay. Look at yourself and say, that sickness can't stay. I don't know what you are battling with, but that stomach problem cannot stay. That head problem cannot stay. That leg problem cannot stay. So I have to look at that thing. Tell it. I don't care what the doctor is saying, but Jesus healed you before you came. I've been healed on the cross on a Good Friday. The stripes for me against us, against any sickness, suffer, so affliction. I've rejected. The desperate, you know, if you don't let him know you know that you are healed, he will try to put you. That's a fall sick. The reason why, because some of you don't exercise your faith. The Bible says you know the truth, and the truth shall make you. It is not you free. It's not the truth you don't. If you don't know, they were supposed to be in slavery for only 70 years. At Christ, they were still there. The day he saw that it's only supposed that he started praying, they would have been there. You know, tell somebody it's the truth. And I'm like this, all good, right? All the coccidiosis, all the cancer, I say on your head, like this, somebody is using hacksaw through your head, very painful. Explain it. It was on my grandfather. As for our family, we all have diabetes. Now, as for us, all of us, cholesterol. This one is this, that one is that. Me too, mine is like this. All of us, we have asthma. My junior asthma, my senior asthma. So me too. Oh, it's normal. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, say my sin has been paid. Say I healed of the Lord, and the sense has. So I am not cutting. This time, the next enemy tells you, you wake up, and your body tells you that I am sick. Start prophesying it. Start doing it. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the healed of the Lord. Start speaking it and saying it. Speak to your body. Some of you have some pains in your stomach. Some of you have periodic pains in your heart. Your heart can beat boom, 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 like you are running. Speak. I'm the healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. You, this sickness, you cannot stay. I cast you out. Fibroid, I cast you out. Any menstrual issues, I cast you out. Any my leg, I cast you out. Spine problem, I cast you out. May the Lord make you free. I said, may the Lord make you free. The third thing he delivered you from is called a curse. Six. He delivered you from all curses. 3:13. The Christ has made you free from the curse of the law. Now listen. Do you know that for every tree to stand, it needs a root? Do you know there are different types of root? We have shallow root, we have deep root. The deep root is also what? Tap root. That goes very deep. Now, if you want to cut or you want to uproot the tree so that it will fall down, which of the root market, the main root, to bring the main root out. Now, every other curse in this world finds its root in the curse of the law. And when Jesus came, in the process of translation, he did for us in the spirit what I'm telling you. He with the root of all curse. So that no matter when yourself, any other curse that seems to operate in your life can up. You see, when you finish the root for the first, you can just climb. Say, but when the root, it will come again. But when you did the root, you can. See, the Jesus dealt with the root of all curses. No matter the curse you are, it is not as powerful as the curse of the law. The curse of the law is a curse that God Himself established. That if you break this law, this will happen to you. If you break law, this. If you have taken time, the Ten Commandments, be able to. If you start from the first commandment to the last man in your life, every activity or conduct, behavior, it says, is just one of the laws. He said, "Thou shalt not watch any woman to your eyes." So, and last, so, he didn't say that in the Ten Commandments, but he said, "Not commit this adultery and this sexual sin." Thou shalt not commit. So, it has its roots there. So, anytime curse works with somebody, because certain elements in that is supporting the case. You listen to what I'm saying. I said, anytime you know me be a year juma crophobe, you know, yes, if you me will be a year juma. I didn't think a year juma, I said, only be say baby. But I say, a curse without any loss can. So if your family they are all suffering from no match, curse is working, it means that one of your family members in history did something around that. There is nothing supporting it. But now, Jesus came, he didn't just come to deal with what we are dealing with. He dealt with the matter of all the curses. Of all curses. Jesus said the curses. Then that upon him. Are you hear what I'm saying? Because if you say that no man must be fully employed because mother did PCD. Now I've come, he has saved me. He has translated. He has washed me with his blood. Something to me. And has destroyed all those, including the curse is destroyed, which is the curse of the law. Then that thing my dad has supposed to suffer for has also been out with. I hear what I'm saying. When we say that Christ has redeemed you from the curses of your family, the national curse, all those things, it dealt with curse. So every now get out over bread, it must, because what support that thing is sin. That's it you has by Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying to? And what's it? It's answer. Or the Nimojanu a bonny fumu. Bonnie so send a man no me a juma. Bonnie. And until as they say, oh, Dunya and Kano, me can do anything before. In other words, a child is innocent, he doesn't do anything. So you are saying a bonnie don't mark against a bonnie innocent. That's why our fellow winner, they have in there. When you come to, I know you were very, very, you just say it. See, I'm innocent. Because you are in Christ. When you come, takes off your it's nature, he gives you his nature. So now you become what? Right. According to 2 Corinthians 5, and he becomes sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So your place, you take his place. So you are innocent. So even though you have done something wrong and someone has cursed you, when that can nullify, the reason is because the root of all curses, which is the power of sin, has been dealt with. Now, what I'm talking about, all the other people who are leading the religions, they could not do it. They could not. They could not die for them. Did you ever read anywhere? Never. He enjoyed himself. He went to war, fought one day, he himself to die. And when he died, then to change. Yeah. Yes, he even want to marry. He's not steady. Muhammad had many wives and girlfriends. Go ahead, and they mention one of their names. It's even Sugar Mommy. Oh, have you forgotten? Khadija. She was far older than Muhammad. She was taking care of Muhammad. That's a sugar mommy. I hear what I'm saying. Sugar mommy doesn't have girlfriends. Doesn't have concubines. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you that don't follow any other religion. Because if you want to see Christianity as a religion, then it is the best. Even though it's the best. It's not everything, but at least come Christian one.
yourself. But they didn't qualify. They didn't qualify. The priest didn't qualify as the deliverer. What did they do to save their people? They did not. They only gave them rules and regulations. That's all. Do good. If you do good, if you go into Buddhism to do a certain of good, in Hindu, you have to live a certain kind of life, a certain kind of consecrated life to a certain level. Then when you get to that level, you achieve a certain term. They have a certain term they call. When you achieve that term, that means that you have become like Buddha himself, and then the gods of Hindu themselves. I forgot the term. Do you still remember the term? No, not Shiva. They say you have achieved that thing. I should have searched it for you. It didn't come to my mind. You have to live a certain. That's why they don't eat some animal. They don't do something. You have to live a certain life until your holiness or your good increases. Then when you get to that level, you have achieved that superiority. Then now you two have become a god. Yes. That's why you have to meditate so that you can start levitating and become. That means you have gotten to a master. The word is coming on my mouth, but I'm not getting it right. So I'm not trying to pronounce. It's a Hindu word. It's an Indian word. Amen. God didn't ask you to do that. He just gave you Jesus. And he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So all you need is to believe in Jesus so that you can just follow him. That's all. Just believe in him. He didn't say, go and take a book and write your good. How many good have you done that will surpass the bad that you have done? Bible says, if the Lord should count sin, who will stand? Today is even a good Friday, but for some of you, it has been bad already. It has been bad Friday. Today, that is a good Friday. Some of us, I'm talking to you now, you have book appointment tomorrow. You have your next fornication date. You have your next... Oh, I was just saying, you have told your girlfriend that, a member, oh, say, yeah, convention. It's a chairman, free, a chairman, convention, you know. It's a chairman, member, best round. Miss Unim say, who call you? The one by you, where is your Easter going towards? Where is it heading? Where is your Easter heading towards? Where are you going towards? You see, it's like I'm joking, but some of you have Kweu ticket already. I'm matching with all the last verse, Neko. So, if God is weighing sin. Look at the lie you told today. Look at that nice excuse you gave. See that you yourself are even surprised that you are that smart. Like, hey, today somebody came to the office. Oh, do office now. I said, hey, daddy, I didn't know I can lie like today. Didn't know today. Yeah. Because he had to lie before he was released to come and work for me in church. So when he came, he said, hey, I didn't know I can lie like that. Then I said, you see, so if God is counting sin on a Good Friday, Krano, you yourself, you have seen how good you are in sin. Like you have seen it. Why we believe you? Wow. Like me to cha, me madam in trauma ni GD. Yes, awful. The guy was surprised that he was able to tell that story and the madam believed. You see, even on a Good Friday, how much more than normal Fridays? Tell somebody you need Jesus. He took away your sin. He took away your sickness. And he has taken away your curses. And the last thing that he dealt with, he delivered you from, is poverty. He doesn't want you to be poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. He doesn't want you to be poor. The grace of God, it also delivers from poverty. So Jesus destroyed poverty. He became poor that we will be rich. He says, I wish above all things to prosper in good health. So as he wants, I declare over the people here that any ties between poverty is broken this Good Friday. Let the power of the cross crush every power of poverty. In the name of Jesus, your two hands together for the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.